Let everybody say amen. If God hasn't been good to you, then don't say amen. But I believe everybody in here needs to say amen and thank you, Lord, for raising me up this morning. Thank you that you allowed me to still be here, O Lord. Thank you that your will for my life might be done. Thank you, Lord. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Let everybody, let the saved of the Lord say so. So you ought to just be willing and ready and able to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Galatians chapter 5 and the verses number 22 through verses number 26. We'll get to it in a minute. We're going to talk about temperance this morning. We're glad, so glad to see those who were on vacation that are back with us once again. We're glad and we're praying for those who are still about moving about that they may have safe passage to their destination and then a safe return to be back here with us once again. Let us take a moment now and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, it is with humbleness that we bring our prayers to your throne. Come before that throne with our prayers. We thank you this morning, Father, because you have lengthened out our lives and given us another opportunity to call out and call upon thy name. We thank you for all who are here, Father. We thank you for those who are members as well as those who are visiting with us this morning. We pray and thank you, Father, for the sick and the shut in. And we just pray that if it be your will that you would give them your healing grace, O Lord, that they may once again be able to come out and be with us once again. We pray for those who are traveling, O Lord, that if it be your will, that you give them their safe passage once again and that they may have safe passage back to the church house, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us. And we're praying this morning for all of those this morning who stand in the need of prayer. And I believe that's everyone. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, this morning for blessing those who have lost loved ones, blessing those who are sick. Blessing the families that have suffered and are still suffering, O Lord. And we just pray, O Lord, for the family as all of the families of this world, Lord, that they may soon recognize you if they don't already know you, O Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we come praying for our local congregation here. We pray for the Stony Island Church of Christ and all of its members. We pray that your will shall be done in our lives. And we pray for those who are not with us this morning because of sickness. We pray for those this morning that are suffering sickness in their family. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, and ask that if it be your will, that you would bless them. We pray for the leadership here in the congregation as well as their families. We pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And pray for all of those who shall come from this point on. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that one day, a long time ago, you sent your Son into this world. And he came into this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. And we just thank you, O Lord, for his troubles that he went through and for the sacrifice that he made for us, O Lord. Father, we thank you for everything you do for us. And we're continuing to ask you to bless us and bless these services as we move into them, O Lord. And that they may be found decent and acceptable in thy sight. We thank you for everything, O Lord, and we thank you for all of the parents that are raising their children. We thank you for the husbands and the wives, and we thank you for everybody, O Lord, who looks up to thee, and for those who don't know thee, we pray that they would have an opportunity to get to know thee. We thank you for everything and everybody, O Lord, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we ask all of these blessings. Let us all say, amen. Amen. This morning, as I said, we're going to talk about temperance. Most church folk are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. We know them. There are nine of them in all. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Time will not allow me to speak on all of them because you want to leave here, I know. But we're going to talk about one of them, and the one I chose today is temperance. I chose this word because many Christians either don't know its meaning, they don't understand its meaning, or they choose to ignore its meaning. Each one of us must use temperance in our daily lives. for it means self-control. Putting the body and mind and spirit in check before it becomes uncontrollable. And when we are out of control, anything can happen. The world basically is out of control today, for they are in the mode that anything goes and anything is okay to say, and that's uncontrollable. But we as Christians, we must learn to be in control. We must show temperance. So let us recognize the problem. The problem is the same thing that has plagued mankind throughout the ages. The flesh that causes that carnal nature, I should say. That's in all of us. This is where the law of God and the law of sin conflict. Many of God's children have yet to realize that this is a conflict that rages on within all of us. And we must do our best to keep it under control. In the book of Romans chapter 7, around verse number 18, the Bible says, "For I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is to present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." The flesh he speaks of in that is the old nature or sin. And in sin, there is no good in sin. We as Christians must learn to control it. Notice what verse number 22 of our text says. In Galatians chapter 5, in the verses number 22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." 23 says, "Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." We as Christians must control it, for if we don't control it, it'll wind up controlling us. Now that verse tells us that we must practice temperance or self-control to delight in the law of God. Now you know what it's like for someone to be out of control. You understand that when you're not in control, number one, we'll say, do, or perform anything, whether it's good or bad. We must do His will and submit to Him. That inward man spoken of is the soul. Most Christians are quick to tell you, "I live to serve God." But every time you think of evil ways to get even with somebody at church, guess what? You're not living with God. You're not living to serve the Lord. None of us are perfect. I know that may burst someone's bubble, but that's okay. None of us are perfect. Yet we must continue to be a work in progress. Notice what the preacher said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the verses number 27. He said, "But I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now what is he saying there? He's saying very simply, if I put you on the road to salvation as the preacher and then I miss the mark, I'm in bad shape, am I not? So when you look back at the text where it says in verse number 23 there, it says, "Meekness and temperance, against such there is no law." There is no law, but there's no reason that we shouldn't practice that. And temperance can cause us to be in control. It can cause us to be cautious of what we do and what we say and also how we act. You know, it's funny sometimes when you walk up on a Christian and the things that are coming out of their mouths. It's shameful sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that I don't say things from time to time that doesn't sound Christian-like, because we all slip up. And we all make mistakes. But it's how you handle that. Do you keep down that same path or do you get off of that path? You know, when you are moving about in your everyday lives, there are things that can make you say and make you go, And sometimes they make you go a little bit further than that. And sometimes you even go far enough to say, "I shouldn't have said that." But then that's when you need to learn to practice temperance. Temperance or self-control, in other words, that you may learn not to say and do those things. There is some help for all of us that are in that position, though. Today there is a word we use a lot. That word is networking. It means to use all of the resources available to achieve a goal that you have in mind. It means to, for instance, when you're meeting people in a job field that you are interested in, you do things like give out your resume. You talk it up about me. I can do this. I'm good at that. And I'd like to get a job in that industry. Can you help me? That's networking. The Bible is a Christian's greatest resource. The Bible is God's network for us to live the Christian life. It's our network for learning to live as Christians. It teaches us how to make sure of God's will for us and training us in salvation and getting us to heaven. It even teaches us about going to church in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It teaches us how many are needed to come together and have Jesus in our midst in Matthew 18 and 20. As long as we are gathered in His name, it teaches us what we must do to be saved in Mark 16 and verse 16. What better tool or resources can we have than this, the greatest manual of all time, the Bible? The psalmist wrote in the Bible in Psalms number 119 and verse number 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against Thee. The word of God, along with going to God in prayer, is a Christian's greatest tool. And some folks, they like to say to me a lot of times, I don't know how to pray. Well, if you can talk, you can pray. Even if you can't talk, you can still pray. Praying is the easiest thing in the world because you're just conversing with God. You know, when you talk to me, you got a huge vocabulary, especially if you're one of those people who know everything about all things. You can just spout out everything I never heard about. And most of the time, you're all wrong. But you don't want to hear that. The Word of God, along with going to God in prayer, is the Christian's greatest networking tool he can use and to help us keep in control or practice temperance. In the verse of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and in supplication for all saints. That tells us what kind of prayer? All prayers and supplications. It means whether you pray in private or whether you pray in secret. It means that even when you pray all alone, that you ought to be thankful to God and that you ought to be able to express your thoughts to God. It explains to us how to pray. It says in the Spirit. It says that we must not only pray to ourselves, but we must, according to the verse, pray for all saints, even the ones you don't like, even the ones that you may not care for, even for them that you don't know, but pray for them anyhow. You know what I like to say? You pray for me and I'll pray for you, but even if you don't pray for me, I'm still going to pray for you anyhow. That's the way we ought to see things. Just pray for everybody. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Pray for all saints. But then somewhere else in the Bible, somebody wrote, pray even for your enemies. Pray for them that you don't like. You're not going to like everybody in this world. And I know there are people that make it real easy for you not to like them, but you still have to pray for them. You still need to make sure that you are going to God because they need God even more so than you do because they haven't found Him yet. So when I pray for folk, I pray for those that I don't even know, and that's what you're supposed to do too. Pray for them anyhow. Temperance can bring peace to us. Against such things, the text says in verse number 23, there is no law. That means there is no punishment for you having temperance. When one has temperance, they can be at peace one with another. And peace is a wonderful thing. There are many who have not peace or have not temperance or self-control. Therefore, they don't have any peace. Watch verse number 24, if you will. Verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with all affliction, all affections and lust." Now, what the Bible is saying is that you're not going to be punished if you use self-control. That means that I can learn to be in control of myself. I can teach temperance. I can practice temperance. You know, there's nothing greater than a Christian who knows how to control himself or herself. There's nothing greater than a Christian who is in self-control. That prevents them from saying anything and everything. In verse number 24, "And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with all afflictions and lust." There is our peace. There lies our peace. When we have put on Christ, we have our desires. We have our desires is to do His will. We still have the flesh, no doubt. But now we have the Spirit also, according to Romans chapter 6, verses number 11 and 12. It says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And verse number 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." So I ask the question this morning. Do you have temperance? Do you practice temperance? Don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anyone. Just hold it to yourself. You can have it by knowing Jesus and keeping yourself in control of your body. Look at verse number 25, if you will. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now, this is where a lot of folk go off at. This is where a lot of folk get a little bit confused at. If you live in the Spirit, it says, let us also walk in the Spirit. It means if you have this temperance and this self-control and these fruit of the Spirit, then you're going to act like it. If you walk, you've got to talk and walk the same. They should be in harmony. There are several things we as Christians must learn to control, and they are to stop being vain. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not just to please me. You don't have to sit up and pretend to be a Christian if you're not really a Christian. You don't have to pretend to be when you sing, you twist your mouth and twist your face all up to look so holy. You don't have to pretend because I'm probably not looking at you anyway. But God is watching you all of the time. Let us stop provoking one another. Oh, this is a good one. Let us stop provoking one another. Some of us like to let folks to talk about folks behind their back. Some of us like to say this person or that person I don't like. And the reason I don't like this person or that person is because I don't like what they wear. Well, he or she didn't wear it for you. He or she wore it because that's what he has or she has to wear. When we don't like our brothers and sisters, we are in serious trouble. When we don't like our brothers and sisters, when we don't love our brothers and sisters, we are in deep trouble. We've got to learn to stop provoking one another and also stop envying one another. So what if our brothers and sisters has more than my brother and sister has more than I have? God is still blessing us to have what we need, according to Philippians 4 and verse number 19. When we have all you need, what more do we need if we have all we need? When we want more, then that need becomes greed. And I tell you something, in greed, we get in trouble. In greed, we get in trouble because we don't know how to control our greed because we constantly want more and more and more. When we provoke and have envy toward one another, we have not practiced temperance. And not only may it be sin for you, but it may cause me to sin as well if I'm the person that you have this ought against or I'm not practicing this self-control against. Because my first thought when you decide to tell me off, I'm going to come back and tell you off, and I may use some words that you never heard coming out of my mouth before. So not only do you sin, but you may cause me to sin also, saying hurtful things and curse words. And Christian folk know how to curse. Don't think they don't. They know how to curse because many of them go there on a daily basis. It was for me to love and forgive you by keeping my own self-control. For you see, in the judgment, it's going to come up again. And it won't be what somebody calls me to say. It'll be what I said and what I did. What somebody else thought, but not what somebody else thought, but what I thought. That other person will have to answer for themselves. If God asked you today, are you practicing temperance? How would you answer? Would you go back up with me, if you will, to verse number 22, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Don't tell me how great a Christian you are. Show me. Don't let me tell you how great I am, but let me show you how great I am. When I can show you how great I am, then you can see it in my walk and in my talk and in the way I carry myself. When you just tell me, I have a choice to believe you or not believe you, don't I? And if you tell me how great you are, chances are I'm not going to believe too much because you haven't shown me, you have told me. So if Christ came down today and asked you, are you in self-control? How would you answer? Would you answer in the affirmative or would you answer in the negative? I prepared a short message today, so I'm getting ready to bring it to a close this morning. I just have to tell you a little bit more and then I'll be through. Now somebody may say, well, preacher, tell me who needs temperance. Well, every Christian ought to practice temperance, but the policeman needs temperance. Because he has a gun at his side. And when he stops me on a traffic violation, I hope to God's sake that he's practicing self-control. Because he can kill me and he will get away with it in most cases. The doctor needs to practice self-control. Why? Because the doctor, he has my life in his hand also. And the doctor is the one who's going to tell my family, well, he's not going to make it any more than the next 2 or 3 hours and then he'll be gone. And if he's in self-control, he knows how to temper that so it doesn't hurt the family as much. Then I tell you this one, who else needs self-control? All husbands and all wives need self-control. Why do I need self-control as a husband? Well, and I need self-control because I look at my wife. Sometimes a man will look at his wife and say, baby, you don't look the same as you used to look. She's had 4 kids by now, so she shouldn't look the same as she used to look. But I tell you what, she thinks the same thing about you. You're not the same as you once was either. So she needs to practice self-control so she not tell him off about telling her that she doesn't look as well as she used to look, because he has already lost his self-control by telling her that she doesn't look as good as she used to look. If I went through childbirth 4 or 5 times, I wouldn't look as good either. And so a husband needs to definitely practice temperance, because not only does he have to bring in control his own body, but he has to be in control of his household, because the man is what? The head of the house. He has to keep his wife in check, and I'm not saying with an iron foot or anything, but he's in charge of the house, he's in charge of the kids, and the kids also need to be in self-control so they won't say anything back to their parents when their parents get on them about living their lives the way they live their lives. So not only husband and wives and policemen and doctors need to be in self-control, but everybody needs to be in self-control. Even when I sit down and watch the news on TV, the newsman needs self-control as not to get involved in the stories that he's reporting to me. The weatherman needs self-control so that he tells me the best of his ability what the weather is going to be like. And the preacher needs self-control too. The preacher needs to be able to control his mind and his body because he knows so much on many members that he can just blurt out anything and everything about them. And you've got to learn to be in self-control that you don't tell things that you are entrusted to keep. So when you learn self-control, you've got a great thing going for you. When you learn self-control, when you learn temperance, you can keep your body in self-control and your mind in self-control. Your mind, your body, and your soul in self-control. You know, we're fighting in this life to stay on the good side of the Lord. I hope we are. We're fighting to stay on the good side of God because guess what? There's somebody out there, there's someone out there who wants to take us out of our game. And you know who it is. He's forever throwing fiery darts at us. But unless we're in self-control and one of those darts hit us, we might go in the other direction. So I tell you something this morning, church. When you think about it, self-control is pretty important to all of us. Self-control means that I can keep my body in subjection and I know that I have someone that I can go to when I need to. I know to go to the Lord in prayer. And I know that the Lord of heaven and earth, the Creator and Maker of heaven and earth, is the one that I need to go to. Somebody may ask the question this morning, why can't I just pray and work things out by myself? You don't have the power. You don't have the power to control your own destiny. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So when I think about this matter of temperance, I ask my own self the question. You know, I talk to the mirror a lot. I ask Brother Carter in the mirror a lot of things, and most of the time he looks back at me, and then that's how I get my answer. Are you practicing self-control? Do you practice temperance? Do you know how easy it is to allow someone to throw you off your game, if you will? Life. It's too good to us. God is too good to us for us to lose control. And by losing control, that may mean we lose heaven. Now, with this in mind, I ask another question this morning. If you are in self-control, are you letting others know that? Are you showing it to others? It's not easy always to be a Christian. Because there's too much out here to tempt us. But if we're in self-control, we can get by those temptations. And the few that we can't, we can always go to God and ask Him to help me to make it by these temptations. And I think sometimes, for a lot of Christians, I think they just say, I'm just going to give in. I just can't fight it anymore. When you're 30,000 feet in the air, and the pilot comes on in the airplane that you're flying in, and he says there's some trouble up ahead, I bet you go to God in prayer then. See, because you don't figure it's your time to be involved in a situation like this. So you'll learn to go to God in prayer. Now, I'm not making light of it, but all those people that were on that airplane a couple of weeks ago, I bet for the majority of them, they knew how to practice and knew how to call upon God. You know, when you're up there, you have no control of what's going on. Number one, you can't see where you're going. You can look out the window and see what's alongside of you. You can't see where you're going. You can't see where you came from. You don't know what the speed limit is because you're not driving. You're not in control at all. So before I get on an airplane, you'll see me. I told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. When I first walk in an airplane, I look in the cockpit because I want to know who's driving me. I want to know who's got control of this airplane. I want to know what this man or this woman looks like. I want to know, do I have enough confidence in them, or do I turn around and get off and say, I'll wait for the next flight? I want to know these things. And then I pray and ask God, God, if it be your will, let my feet touch the ground once again. Because I want to live, Lord. I don't want to die today up in this airplane. And I give good vibes to those who have flown overseas. Because you have to be on a plane for a long time to go overseas. I don't know if I could do it. I would feel claustrophobic. I would feel too hot. I would be too cold. And I would just generally want to be down on the ground. But I tell you something. I've got some good views from up in the air. I see the clouds and I look up and I realize that heaven, I'm closer to heaven now than I was when I'm on the ground. And I say to myself, Lord, if it be your will, put me back down on solid ground. And Lord, if you just allow me to make this flight all the way through, I'll learn how to be in more control of myself. I'll learn how to practice temperance. I'll learn how to serve you better, O Lord, because Lord, your life, my life is in your hand just like it is when I'm on earth. But even more so now, Lord, because I'm in more danger, I consider myself right now. So when you're doing whatever you do, ask yourself the question once again. Am I practicing temperance? Do I treat my brother and sister and my neighbor? Do I treat my wife? Do I treat my husband? Do I treat my kids like somebody that's in control? Because the Bible just told us if you walk and talk in the Spirit, you ought to practice being in the Spirit. You ought to be in the Spirit. Don't tell me what you are. Show me what you are. Teach me what you are. Because I don't know it all, and you may be able to teach me something. All you got to do is tell me and show me. Or show me rather than tell me, I should say. So if you're not a member of the Lord's body, if you don't know how to practice temperance, you need to come to the Lord, and you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you already are, but you somewhere, some way, went astray, you can ask the Lord for forgiveness. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Number